Okay, let's do it.
Cliquer sur Streamwalk, c'est ça?
Ouais.
Alors je fais 1.
Dear Walter.
Niveau, c'est bon, sinon ça?
There can no longer be any doubt that another European crisis is now approaching. And this time, I am by no means so sure as I was last autumn that it will not end in war. I still believe that even this time, there is every chance that the Germans will get everything they want. Even if they still do not know exactly what they want. Although I am more convinced than ever that Germany is not in any position to wage war, the decisive point seems to me that the English ruling class cannot risk anything that could result in a loss of prestige for Hitler, since they are so fearful of what might follow afterwards. France has finally lost all sense of initiative, otherwise it would be quite impossible to explain the events in Spain. The French will certainly have to pay the price for this, and they will be soon experiencing a similar fate to Czechoslovakia. And it is still not even clear whether France will remain an English sphere of influence or become a German one instead, through the indigenous process of fascism in the country. In short, the prospect of peace is hardly less disturbing than that of war. And as I said, the latter itself no longer seems as impossible as it did in the autumn. On the one hand, because this time the German demands conflict directly with the interests of the British Empire, something which the capitalists themselves will find it very difficult to ignore, however reluctantly, and also because perception of the internal situation in Germany itself could well provoke a resistance that would unwittingly transform an act of bluff into something much graver. I am simply communicating this possibility to you as my own personal opinion. At the Institute, they still continue to believe in peace at almost any price, although Max is also of the opinion that the price would be the establishment of the new order throughout Europe. I would not want to cause you any panic in this matter, but I also feel it would be quite irresponsible of me not to tell you how I view the situation.
Les six lunes d'Herschel, l'anneau du vieux Saturne, le pôle arrondissant une aurore nocturne sur son front boréal, il voit tout. Et pour lui, ton vol, qui rien ne lasse, de ce monde sans borne à chaque instant déplace l'horizon idéal.
Dear Walter, this time my delay in writing has nothing to do with heretical questions. It is explained by the most recent events in Germany. I do not know whether you are aware of how closely my parents have become involved in all the turmoil. We did succeed in getting my father out of prison, but he suffered further injury to his already bad eye during the pogrom. His offices were destroyed, and a short time afterwards, he was deprived of all legal control over his property. My mother, who is now 73 years old, also found herself in custody for 2 days. Just as both of them were beginning to recover from their terrible experience, my father was afflicted by serious pulmonary inflammation. He seems to have survived the worst of the illness, but this will now keep him in Germany for weeks, perhaps even months. Although we have succeeded in the meantime, with the help of American friends, in securing an entry visa to Cuba for both my parents. But it hardly needs saying that we are still extremely concerned, as long as they have to remain in that appalling country, and that our attempts to assist them have absorbed all my attention for several weeks now.
La rue assourdissante autour de moi hurlait, longue, mince, en grand deuil, douleur majestueuse. Une femme passa d'une main fastueuse, sous les ventres, balançant le feston à l'ourlet. Agile et noble, avec sa jambe de statue, moi, je buvais, crispé comme un extravagant, dans son œil, ciel vide où germe l'ouragan, la douceur qui fascine et le plaisir qui tue. Un éclair, puis la nuit, fugitif côté, dont le regard m'a fait soudainement renaître. Ne te verrai-je plus que dans l'éternité ? Ah, ailleurs, bien loin d'ici. Trop tard, jamais peut-être. Imagine où tu fuis, tu ne sais où je vais. Pour toi que je sais mieux, pour toi qui le savais. The most beautiful thing is the view from the window onto the sea. And a rocky island, which lets its lighthouse shine in here at night. As well as the distance between inhabitants through an astute allocation of space and walls almost a meter thick, which prevent any sound or heat from getting through. Hebel's poem to an unknown woman, which contains these memorable lines. Kann ich Form dir und Gestalt nicht geben, so reißt auch keine Form dich gut. And finally, a few sentences from the Herbst Blumen of Jean-Paul, which is a real find. A single sun was granted to the day, a thousand to the night, and the ether's endless blue seems as if it is sinking down towards us in drizzling light. How many street lamps shimmer up and down along the Milky Way? These are lit, too, even if it is summer or the moon is shining. But night, meanwhile, adorns itself not merely with that clock of stars which the ancients imagined it was wearing, and which I shall more tastefully call its religious vestments rather than its twosome robes, but pushes its adornment much further, imitating the ladies of Spain. Like them, when they replace the jewels in their headdress with glow-worms in the darkness, the night studs the lower reaches of its clock, where there are no glittering stars, with similar tiny creatures which the children often steal off with. The following sentences form a very different piece in the same collection, seem to me to belong in the same context. And more of the same, for I noticed not only that Italy was like a moonlit Eden to us poor people of the drift ice, because day and night we there encountered the living fulfillment of that adolescent dream of nights spent wandering about and singing. But I was also driven to ask why people here merely walked around and sang in the streets at night like peevish night watchmen, instead of assembling in whole evening star and morning star parties and roaming in a colorful troupe, for everyone was in love. Through the most magnificent leafy woods and the brightly moonlit flowery fields, adding a few phrases on the flute to the joyful prevailing harmony, to this double-ended extension of the brief night by sunrise and sunset, plus the added dawn and dusk. The idea that the longing which draws one to Italy is a longing for a country where one does not need to sleep is profoundly related to the later image of the roofed-over city. But the light, which rests equally on the two images, is surely none other than the light of the gas lamp with which Jean-Paul was not acquainted. Tout entière, yours, Teddy.
Dear Greta, dear Felicitas, I have spent a long time focusing solely on books and jottings. It is only in the last few days that I have emancipated myself from roaming the shore and taken a number of longer hikes into the even wider, even more lonely surrounding area. Only then did I become fully conscious of being in Spain. Of all the habitable country I have seen, These parts are surely the most severe and untouched.
Hebbel's poem to an unknown woman, which contains these memorable lines. Und kann ich formt.
Dear Teddy, dear Gretel, dear Felicitas. The political prospects are looking extremely dark for anyone who feels at home in Paris. You venture out into the street and you see these characters from the American Legion and have the feeling you're entirely surrounded by fascism. I hope I shall soon be able to insulate myself against such impressions once I get down to work. Please write without delay and accept my heartfelt greetings. Walter.
In short, I'm now finally living on the other shore again, finally alone, finally close to the seashore and close to the forest, where I can work undisturbed. It is, incidentally, certainly an unusual adobe that I have found, a single room in a new building of which almost nothing else has been built. A room that was completed to lodge not me, but rather its owner's furniture. And it is with them that I shall mine. Nor are there any window panes yet. The well by the house does not yet exist. But those are all entirely bearable disadvantages compared to those of an inopposite housing community and a domicile in a loud village. My address remains unchanged.
Dear Walter, since this is a theme of considerable importance from the perspective of politics and the philosophy of history alike, here would certainly be a good place for a glimpse of the way in which the ornamental ostentation of fascism penetrates right into the torture chambers of the concentration camp, just as the opening of the detective story always already harbors the figure of its end. In this connection, to my mind, there are a few things as symptomatic as the fact that Barcelona presented us with the same spectacle we witnessed a year ago in Vienna. The masses who now rejoiced in the fascist conquerors were the very same which had rejoiced in the opponents of the fascists only the day before.
A letter from the consulate there would probably get me permission to go down to Marseille. I'm actually still unable to decide whether I should make contact with any consulates in the occupied territories. A letter which I sent to Bordeaux before the German occupation received a fairly cordial but non-committal answer. The required documents were still in Paris. I have heard something about your negotiations with Havana and your efforts concerning San Domingo. I'm quite sure you're doing everything humanly possible, and indeed more than humanly possible, as Felicitas puts it, to help me. My great fear is that we have much less time at our disposal than we imagined. And although I would not have contemplated that possibility a fortnight ago, new information received has moved me to ask Madame Favé, with the intervention of Karl Burkhard, if she could possibly obtain permission for me to visit Switzerland on a temporary basis. I realize there is much to be said against trying this escape route, but there is one very powerful argument in its favor, and that is time. If only this way out were possible.
My dear Teddy,
if we cannot be safe from the enemy, if you when Caillouas says, on travaille à la libération des êtres qu'on désire asservir et qu'on souhaite nous voir obéissants qu'envers soi. He has simply characterized fascist practice itself. It is sad to see such a brutal muddy stream as this fed by such an elevated source. I am leading the sort of life centenarians tell reporters of as a secret. I get up at 7 o'clock and bathe in the sea, where not a soul is to be seen on the shore far and wide, perhaps at the most a sailor of the horizon, around the level of my forehead. Then I sunbathe, leaning against a wheeling tree trunk in the forest, and its healing power spread to my head through the prism of a satin white sheet. And then a long day of abstinence from countless things, less because they shorten life than because they hardly exist here, or are so inferior that one is happy to dispense with them. Electric light and butter, spirits and running water, flirts and newspaper reading. Complete uncertainty about what the next day, even the next hour, may bring has dominated my life for weeks now. I am content to read every newspaper. They now come out on a single sheet here, as if it were summons served on me in particular, to hear the voice of fateful tidings in every radio broadcast. I attempt to read myself in order to put my case at the consulate there, but I wasted effort. For some time now, it has been impossible for foreign nationals to obtain a permit for a change of residence.
Situation sans issue, tu n'as d'autre choix que d'en finir. C'est dans un petit village dans les Pyrénées où personne ne me connaît. Ma vie va s'achever. Je vous prie de transmettre mes pensées à mon ami Adorno et de lui expliquer la situation où je me suis vue placée. Il me reste assez de temps pour écrire toutes les lettres que j'ai voulu écrire.
With no escape, I have no other choice but to finish it all. Because in a tiny village in the Pyrenees, where no one knows me, that my life must come to its end. I would ask you to pass on my thoughts to my friend Adorno and to explain to him the situation in which I have now found myself. I no longer have enough time to write all those letters I would dearly have written. Thank you.
Dear Felicitas, today I have transferred my writing activity to the cafe for a change of scenery. It has few advantages over my forest hiding places. But sometimes one simply needs the sight of a glass of coffee in front of one as the representative of a civilization that is otherwise sufficiently remote. This year one is even having it with milk. And neither the screaming children nor the nearby Ibizan discourses shall disturb us. I think it is right for me finally to write to you in a good moment. Perhaps my last letter seemed and was a little clouded. Dear Detlef, I worry that you are in danger of violent psychosis. Please keep in mind everything I have already said, and which one should not really say, then perhaps you will know better what I want from you. But it is better for you to cross with me for a moment than for me to set unfathomable riddles for you. Never forget, then, that since the first months of this year I have been so deeply indebted to you that it would make me infinitely happy if I were able to make your life a little easier. Please trust me and make use of me, insofar as one can say that at such a distance. I would be glad if I hear from you once a week. Remember the motto that you wrote in the question for me. In honest friendship, more warmly than ever, your Felicitas.